Este es el noticiero El Bus TV Altamira Plaza Venezuela en su primera emisión.
Lo poderoso del formato.
The most powerful thing about our offline format is that it enables us to bring information to where people are. So we don't have to wait for them to turn on the TV or have an internet signal to connect to our website. What we do is see where the people are and take the information to them.
El Bus TV truly deserves recognition. Not only do they present the news to people on their routes, they also have close relationships with the people they serve. It is one of the media outlets that has had the greatest impact on communities here.
Local journalism really builds communities. It is the kind of journalism that puts you in contact with your neighbor or local counselor.
Iniciamos con las noticias. A partir de esta semana, la cuenta de Twitter Traffic Chacao estará difundiendo reportes en tiempo real del tránsito.
We may not have the advantage of the algorithm, but we have the advantage of being able to sit down and listen. We don't do what's called helicopter journalism, where we fly in, look for something, and then leave. Rather, our job is to be present, to stay.
In Venezuela's media sphere, where state control is pervasive and journalists are closely monitored, the reporters on El Bus TV have made some conscious decisions. Their focus is local. Their work is analog rather than digital. They present their news in person on public buses. El Bus TV's news bulletins can't be taken off the air because they really never go on air in the first place. And that's useful in a media climate that's become tightly repressive over the past decade, years that have been dominated by the government of President Nicolás Maduro.
You could sum up the overall media situation of Venezuela in two words: censorship and self-censorship. Over here, it seems as though we are constantly in a state of emergency because the lack of access to official information is chronic. There are no statistics about public health, no credible figures for employment levels, no data regarding extrajudicial executions by the state. What we've seen in Venezuela is a process of institutional dissolution, leaving us with no independent institutions. Unfortunately, these are ideal conditions for an increasingly limited, neutered media.
This actually started during the government of Nicolás Maduro's predecessor, Hugo Chávez. Those years were marked by a stance of confrontation with the media. Eventually, regulations became much stricter, and a massive propaganda machine was created using public funds. Then something special happened during Maduro's tenure. It was no longer just about state media pushing out propaganda. There were also large private media groups such as Diario El Universal and Globovisión, the only 24-hour news channel, that were acquired by businessmen with close ties to the government.
Media outlets that haven't been co-opted or bought out have collapsed under financial pressure and state intimidation. In the past decade, more than 60 Venezuelan newspapers have gone out of circulation. Maduro's government, like Hugo Chavez's before, has argued, and not without validity, that the media landscape needed to be reshaped because of the power and influence of right-wing oligarchs who had acquired news organizations. Recent challenges to Maduro's hold on power, including some backed by the U.S. government, have only hardened that position.
Opposition leader Juan Guaido calling for the military to oust the sitting president, Nicolas Maduro.
And journalists doing critical reporting have found themselves in the state's crosshairs. Roberto Deniz is one of them. 5 years ago, he and his colleagues at investigative outlet Armando.info fled across the border to Colombia. Reporting they had done on brazen corruption and money laundering in Venezuela's state-run food distribution program, known as CLAPS, is what got them in trouble.
When you cover stories of corruption, people can get lost in all the figures and details. But ultimately, they don't have a sense of how this affects them directly. However, our investigations into the state's food distribution network showed that at a time when Venezuela was in real need, hundreds of millions of dollars of public funds were being used to buy essential supplies of very low quality. This eventually ended up in the homes of some of the poorest people in Venezuela. It was probably one of Armando.info's most widely read reports ever.
Not only have they uncovered important information, they've also identified the key actors in the corruption scheme, which we didn't expect was going to be possible. It has been admirable and remarkable that they still want to pursue these issues, despite the risks that come with the job. These journalists have had to leave the country due to threats and arbitrary legal proceedings. They've carried out their work covering these important topics, despite the limitations of living abroad.
Doing the reporting is one thing. Getting it out to Venezuelans is quite another. Nearly half the country's population lives in regions with limited access to information. But even for those who have the means, a TV signal or an online connection, finding that information when it's not approved by the state ranges from the challenging to the impossible. KenTV, the state-run internet service provider, leads the list of operators that most frequently block websites. And on TV, the state network, VTV, dominates, closely followed by Globovisión, which is owned by a businessman allied with the Maduro government. Vladimir Villegas used to host a show on that network. He's well connected. His brother is a former minister of communications, and Villegas has held many political roles himself. But even he found the editorial pressure at Globovisión too much.
I worked at Globovisión from 2013 until last year when I left. In May of last year, I had a complaint filed against me for an interview I did. I resigned because I couldn't keep things going there. Today, I still have my program on Union Radio and my own YouTube channel. I have more freedom in terms of what I can and can't talk about, but I have less reach. But at least I can interview politicians I could have never interviewed on TV or on the radio.
Por supuesto, mucha gente dirá, ¿por qué tú estás conversando eso con un representante del gobierno de los Estados Unidos? Bueno, porque yo converso este tema con todo el mundo.
For instance, whenever there are street protests, anchors on TV are clearly told who they can or cannot bring on the air. On YouTube, I can speak with anyone, or at least I've been able to so far.
We sent an interview request to Venezuela's Ministry of Communications. We even contacted journalists working for state outlets to get their assessment of the media climate. No one responded to us. The polarized politics of the country have made holding those in power to account very challenging for the media. For the journalists at El Bus TV, Armando.info, and on YouTube hosting their own channels, working in the alternative media space has not just been about reporting the unreported, but also about keeping a journalistic spirit alive in Venezuela. And doing that has involved banding together and pooling resources.
For several years now, and not really by choice, Venezuelan journalists have had to learn to form alliances. We needed a network to support and defend one another, even though it would seem more natural for us to be in competition for audiences and advertising. This is, in fact, a great moment to do journalism in Venezuela, because we're acutely aware that we're all equally necessary.
I believe that at some point in the future, Venezuelans are going to acknowledge the contribution made by the many small independent media outlets that have worked to preserve a variety of viewpoints and to condemn irregularities.
I think it's important to acknowledge the opportunities that have arisen despite the restrictions we've endured. Independent journalists have fought to continue their work. We ally with each other, we innovate and we adapt. It's clear that we don't need to depend on technology or huge financial support to work towards information freedom in Venezuela. It's interesting that through journalism, we have the ability to create spaces and openings for information to reach our audiences.
Thanks for watching. If you'd like to see more media analysis on the US, Taiwan, China, or anywhere across the globe, we have plenty to offer. Just click here.